This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Daily media briefing. My name is Emily Keel. I'll be facilitating today's call. Here with me, we have Secretary Kim Mulsom-Risden and lead epidemiologist for our state, Dr. Josh Clayton, and he's going to start the call with the numbers.
Good morning, everyone. Today, we are reporting 76 new cases of COVID-19 in the state. This does include 8 new hospitalizations. We do have 4 new deaths that we are reporting as well. All 4 of these individuals are in Minnehaha County and are residents of that county. We have 81 new recovered individuals and 119 total negative tests that have been performed in the past 24 hours. The totals for the state are 2,449 COVID-19 cases. This does mean that we have 859 active cases. Those are individuals who have not completed their isolation period. We also have 1,573 recovered cases. In total, we've had 173 hospitalizations and 17 now deaths. We have 14,579 total negative tests that have been performed in the state. The cases by county include 1 in Brookings, 7 in Brown, 1 in Hughes, 9 in Lincoln, 53 in Minnehaha, 1 in Stanley, 2 in Turner, and 1 in Union. For the cases by age range, we have 5 in the 0 to 19 year age category, 16 in the 20 to 29 year age category, 20 in the 30 to 39 year age category, 10 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 11 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 6 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 2 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 5 in the 80 year and older category. By sex, we have 43 males and 32 females.
All right.
Let me just go ahead and also provide just a quick update for our deaths by county and so on. So we have 2 deaths that have occurred in Beadle, 1 in Giralve, 1 in McCook, 12 in Minnehaha, and 1 in Pennington. The deaths by age range include 1 in the 40 to 49 year age category, 4 in the 50 to 59 year age category, 3 in the 60 to 69 year age category, 2 in the 70 to 79 year age category, and 7 in the 80 year and older category. For the breakdown of deaths by sex, we have 13 who are males and 4 who are females.
Okay, we'll be ready to take our first question now then.
Good morning.
This is Lisa Scarcita.
I did not get any one of those names. I'm sorry.
This is Lisa with Argus Leader.
Okay, Argus Leader, go ahead.
Yeah, just wondering how many deaths have occurred in a nursing home.
I do not have that information in front of me. If you would like to submit a request to our information center, and Emily can provide that information of who to reach out to.
Go ahead and email me at covidmedia@state.sd.us.
Okay, thanks.
Next question. Go ahead, Kel.
I have a question about the website update. I was wondering if we could get an example of how it's working when there's partial data showing up throughout the morning. What should media outlets do when this new data is being updated on the website. Is there another way we should be going about reporting this when we see new deaths show up on that?
So I think the important thing is to make sure that you're waiting until the full update has hit the website. So we do have a focus on getting that information updated in its entirety by 11:30. Any information that is seen out there prior to that is still in the process of updating throughout the dashboard.
And I guess a follow-up.
Go ahead.
Why aren't the deaths reported on the Department of Health tweets that they send out? Those are usually a good symbol that what you have is final.
So you're asking, can you repeat the question, please?
Why aren't deaths on the Department of Health tweet graphic?
That's something that we can take a look at. But the focus is on, the dashboard contains, all of the same information that is pushed out via those graphics.
Thank you.
Thanks for the feedback. Next question.
Jeremy, this is Stephen Gross from AP.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Do you have updates on Smithfield employees or close contacts as far as cases confirmed?
So as of today, we have 853 cases that have been identified among Smithfield employees, as well as 245 cases that have been identified among their close contacts.
Next question.
Jeremy Fugelberg, Forum News Service.
Hi, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Clayton. Noticed yesterday between the state lab and guidance to healthcare providers, the sense that I got is that it's a pretty significant loosening of requirements for who or guidelines for who should get tested. Can you walk through that a little bit and explain what's different now and how different that is?
Yeah, I think we just wanted to make sure that general providers had the perspective of the information that is a little bit changing at the federal level regarding symptoms that are more attributable to COVID-19 as opposed to some others, as well as just that general perspective of individuals that they can test at their discretion versus who the Department of Health at our state public health laboratory is able and willing to test. And so for that general testing recommendation, you are correct that we have seen that transition a little bit. The focus is on the two main symptoms of cough or shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, and that the other symptoms that are out there is the focus of having at least two of those symptoms, and that would be fever, chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, and new loss of taste or smell. And so that is a helpful clarification, I think, to medical providers out there who have patients who are presenting to them with COVID-like symptoms and will help aid that discussion about whether an individual should be tested for COVID-19.
Next question.
Gordon Richard, Alcester Union, not tonight.
Hi, Gordon. Go ahead.
All right. The mayor of Mitchell yesterday called the back to normal plan a bombshell. And I would like to know Dr. Clayton's and Ms. Malson-Reiston's opinion on that. Do you consider that document to be a bombshell? And what does that mean?
This is Kim Malson-Reiston. I can't speak for, what other context that comment may have been made. The governor's plan is straightforward. It emphasizes personal responsibility and common sense and lays out, I think, a reasonable framework for us to follow to get back to normal, recognizing that we need testing to be available, that we need to see a downward trend, and that's what we're, what we have been seeing in cases, and we need to be able to continue to the good public health work that we've been doing to help manage this response. I think it also recognizes, a different starting point that we were at compared to other states that, initiated, harsh lockdowns. So our starting point to get back to normal looks different as well.
Next question.
Yes, Todd, Epitola.com News.
Go ahead, Todd.
Thank you. We just received a news release from the warden of the Minnehaha County Jail. They report five inmates have tested positive for the virus and that an additional seven jail employees have tested positive. What is the state of South Dakota doing to work with jails and other detention facilities in the state to try to keep those numbers down?
Certainly. Specifics just around, how we handle cases identified, and this would be, correctional facilities to businesses to manufacturing, is really to be able to help support those businesses and correctional facilities through a focused discussion. I've had specifically an opportunity to speak with Warden Matson and his staff at the Minnehaha County Jail. We are working to continue to support them, both in terms of helping identify, processes that can potentially be improved, but also helping reinforce, that the approaches that they are taking are solid and based on the current CDC guidance that is out there. So we continue to support correctional facilities, and we'll continue to do so for professional facilities, business, manufacturing, in the future.
Next question.
This is just Chilean News.
Please call with the Argus Leader.
Can we try that one more time?
Nathan from Chilean News.
Capital Journal, please.
Cap Journal, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, y'all. Dr. Clayton, you mentioned, so the past couple of days, the numbers for the Smithfield Group have been stagnant, which is good. But you also mentioned, I think it was yesterday, that it's been 14 days since the outbreak. And so I was curious, has it been 14 days since the last person was infected or tested positive? Do you expect those numbers to pretty much stay put? I mean, maybe one or two, but probably not kind of thing. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm happy to kind of provide some point of update for the Smithfield numbers, and that you're exactly right that the focus is on individuals' potential exposures leading up to the 14 days prior to their symptom onset, and with the Smithfield facility now having been shut for 14 days, we are not seeing that as a potential area where people are getting their exposure. So, do have a focus of, being clear around, some of the businesses that are impacted, by COVID-19, and that is why we have been continuing to report the number of cases among those Smithfield employees. And I think this highlights the fact that, individuals who are where their exposures are occurring is not only within business settings, that we have, continue to see cases occurring, within the community and, even among, other Smithfield employees that are not reflected in the current update numbers because they did not have exposure, to the Smithfield facility. So you're exactly right when you are saying that the numbers are stagnating. The numbers that we're seeing and that we're reporting are not likely to change. We're seeing those are the cases that we've had reported with this cluster, and there's no additional changes that we'll be seeing in the future.
Hey, was there a Nathan that had a question? Sorry about that.
Yes.
Nathan, go ahead.
I was wondering if you guys are taking any steps in Union County with both Dakota County, Nebraska, and Woodbury County, Iowa, having huge increases lately.
This is Kim Alton-Rice, and yes, we've been watching the situation in Union County and also been in contact with the emergency operations centers in operation in Iowa and Nebraska that kind of handle this region. We understand that there have been a large number of cases in Iowa and Nebraska. Thankfully, that has not been the case in our South Dakota contiguous counties at this point. And so we have been in contact with them and are working jointly to ensure that appropriate testing is happening and that appropriate contact tracing is happening so that we can get make sure that people stay safe in the situation.
Okay, we'll take one final question.
Yes, JP, Warren News Radio.
Okay, JP.
Yes, could you please review the criteria for when a patient is considered recovered?
Certainly. So an individual who has been tested positive for COVID-19 is transitioned from an active case to a recovered case. When that person has met the following three criteria. One, that it has been at least 7 days since their symptom onset. Two, that they have been fever-free for at least 72 hours. So that may extend individuals beyond that 7 days, as well as the individual should have a general improvement in their overall symptoms. So that is the current CDC guidance, and that is how an individual is considered recovered from COVID-19.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everyone. If you do have additional follow-up questions, please email covidmedia@state.sc.us. Thank you.